Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. We'll read verses 1 through 12 together. Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. We'll read this passage responsively. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the fact that you're not only a God that died on the cross for us, but you conquered death, got up out of that grave 3 days and three nights later. Father, thank you that we serve a living God. We have a living Savior who wants to meet our needs. The Holy Spirit of God, do what only you can do. Hush the hearts, control our minds, and allow our preacher to preach the Word of God with your power. Matter of fact, just preach through him and change our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
In the passage of Scripture that we just read, we are reminded of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to remind you a little of it this morning, and then I'm going to apply it to our lives. Jesus had been crucified, he had died, and he had been placed in a borrowed tomb. On Sunday morning, we have a special series of events that take place after his death. Two women named Mary go to his sepulchre. The Bible says here that they went very early in the morning, and that they had prepared some things to take with them. There was some advanced preparation that goes into these ladies showing up to hear some wonderful news. The Bible says that they're down near the tomb, and all of a sudden a great earthquake comes. The angel of the Lord appears to them. That angel rolls back the stone door behind which Jesus Christ had been laid to rest. The angel says, Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He is risen, just like he had said he was going to. And then the angel said, Now, go let everybody know. Go let everybody know the good news. The Bible says those two ladies went running into town, and they went and they found Peter, and they are letting everybody know it happened. It happened. Hey, what a great day. Jesus has resurrected. Now, last Wednesday night, we talked about what's called the Lord's Day. We've been studying the doctrines of the Bible. The first day of the week is not actually Monday. The first day of the week is actually Sunday. And we celebrate today as the Lord's Day. And I have to tell you something. On this Sunday morning, on this special day, the morning of the resurrection, some wonderful, wonderful things happen. What a special Sunday morning they had the privilege of celebrating. Jesus had been resurrected. Now, that's real good for you and I. You may not understand it all, but you have to understand here. We're sinners, and because we're sinners, we deserve to go to hell. And somebody had to pay our sin debt for us. And the problem was, us human beings, we're sinners, and we can't pay our own sin debt. It took someone that was perfect to pay our sin debt for us. And Jesus said, I'll do that. He left the Heavenly Father in heaven, came down here, was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half sinless years. Then they crucified him, and he allowed it to happen. They buried him after he died, and finally, 3 days later, he came up out of that grave, which meant he had victory over the grave and victory over death, and that was him buying, purchasing us. That was him making salvation available for you and I. So thank God this morning took place. Thank God that up from the grave he arose. But I want you to think about something. This was happening. It was a Sunday morning. It was a Sunday morning. Jesus is resurrected. Hey, what a good day. What a great start to a bunch of folks' day. Can you imagine, after everything that they had been through? Jesus had been, he had been captured, he had been falsely accused, he had gone through a mock trial, he had been beaten, they did all sorts of things, they crucified him, nailed him to the cross, buried him, rolled a stone over that thing, and Sunday was just around the corner. And Sunday morning, these ladies got up. They said, we're getting up. We're going down to the tomb. And that Sunday morning was a tremendous Sunday morning for them. Oh, don't you think they were happy that Sunday had arrived? Don't you think that that Sunday morning, those people that had a part in that, don't you think they looked at it and said, wow, Sunday is a great day. They said, I'm never going to forget how beautiful and how fantastic Sunday morning can be. What a great start to their day. What a pleasant thing to wake up to. Waking up to a resurrected Savior. Wow. What good news for these disciples. What a way to start their Sunday. Now, I say all that because I believe that God wants all mornings to be good mornings. But in a special way, he wants Sunday mornings to be extra pleasant for all of us. Young people right over here, about the fourth row back, you look right this way while I preach. See, people behind you can't pay attention because of you. Now, if I have to call you down again, I'll just ask one of the deacons to have you step out. But Owens isn't trying to be rude to you. You're being rude to the people behind you. And I'm just kindly saying, now let's pay attention right this way. In a special way, God wants Sunday to be a special day. Now, I love Sunday mornings. I'd like to say I love all mornings, but there are some mornings I don't really love. But I do indeed love Sunday morning. When I wake up on a Sunday morning, it takes me a couple moments. I have to shake myself and wake up a little bit. And then once it kicks in my brain that it's Sunday morning, there's a special excitement that comes about me. I think all days are special days. I think 365 days a year we're saved, and 365 days a year God loves us, and 365 days a year we can celebrate his resurrection, and 365 days a year we can celebrate his birth, and 365 days a year we can celebrate our salvation. But I have to tell you, there are 52 special days in a year that are extremely special to me, and it's Sunday. Our choir sometimes sings, there's something different in the air, it's Sunday. Oh yes, indeed, there's something different in the air when a Sunday morning rolls around. I want to give you some reasons that maybe we ought to make sure that Sunday is a pleasant day. And I want to give you some ways to accomplish it. Now, if you'll listen to me today, I believe Sunday's a special day. And I want to help some of you. Some of you are allowing the devil to mess up your Sunday. Your Sunday. And I want Sunday to be special. I think the atmosphere around our church is to be special. It's supposed to be special 7 days a week, but in a unique way, with a unique flavor. Sunday is a special day. But I really believe this. I believe there are people in this auditorium, people hearing my voice right now, and you have allowed the devil to keep Sunday from being as special as what it could be and what it should be to you you and your family. What I'm going to say today is extremely practical. What I'm going to say to you today, I wish I could get those of you who struggle on Sunday morning, if you would listen to me, I am very simply going to help you sort through your Sunday morning, calm it down, organize it, and make it so you're looking forward to coming to church, and you come to church with the right attitude. Listen to this. Number one, I want you to realize that the devil wants your Sunday morning to be miserable. Think about it. The devil wants your Sunday morning to be miserable. Satan hates Sunday. Wouldn't you think? He hates it. This is probably the worst day of his week. And I'm so glad we made somebody miserable. He doesn't like Sunday. Hey, God's going to get a bunch of attention. Something's going to happen down at the church house. So, you better stop and realize Sunday is the day of the week probably that Satan hates more than any other. Satan always wants to accomplish the opposite of what God wants accomplished. And so, if God wants Sunday to be an extra special day, then Satan wants it to be an extra miserable day. You better stop and realize something, my friend. This indeed is a spiritual war that we're in. There really is a devil. He really is trying to make us miserable. There really is a God. He really does want us to serve Him and enjoy our Christianity. And so don't get confused about this. When Sunday rolls around, the devil's going to do what he can to try to mess up God's plan for the day. Satan wants Sunday to be a day where Christians are unfaithful. Why? Because God wants Christians faithful on Sunday. Satan's always going the opposite direction of God. Satan wants Sunday to be unproductive. Satan wants Sunday to be frustrating to you. Satan wants Sunday to be rushed for you. Satan wants Sunday to start out unhappy for you. Satan wants your Sunday mornings unorganized. Satan wants you to dread your going off and getting ready for church. Satan wants Sunday morning to be impersonal to you. Satan wants to try to figure out a way to make your Sunday morning miserable. Do you think Satan was happy on resurrection morning? Do you think he wanted anybody to be happy on resurrection morning? What was resurrection morning? It was Sunday morning. It was the Lord's Day. Satan, God said, I'm going to give mankind the best news they've ever heard on a Sunday. It's going to be a great day. And Satan said, I'll do everything I can to stop that. I'll do everything I can to slow them down and smother their spirit. I don't want them to hear about the resurrected Christ. And God said, they're going to hear it anyway. He's coming up out of that grave and everybody's going to hear about it. And they're going to celebrate from now until the day Jesus Christ returns, that Sunday is the Lord's day. It's a great day. It's a wonderful day. It's an exciting day. It's a uplifting day. And Satan said, I'll do all I can to squelch it. Huh. Satan hates it. He hated that morning. He's hated Sunday mornings ever since. If this morning was miserable for you, I'm going to guess Satan accomplished his purpose. Been planning it for years. And for some of you, it's a miserable morning week after week, and that's too bad. Because that's not how it's supposed to be. So number one, I want you to realize that the devil wants your Sunday morning to be miserable. Number two, realize that God wants Sunday to be a great day for His people. A great day. God loves Sunday. Hey, all days are good, but Sunday is a heyday for God. If God has a payday, payday for God is Sunday. I think He looks forward to it with anticipation. I think God looks down and smiles. I think if God went to sleep, and He doesn't, but if He did, He's like me. If He had to wake up on Sunday morning, He'd wake up and clear His eyes a little bit, and He'd say, I wonder what day this is. It's Sunday. Woo!
This is one good day. Hey, let's go to church. Woo! This is going to be good. God wants your life to be influenced at church. God gets excited about church. God is He anticipates what can take place. Sunday's special day. Hey, God wants you to be influenced by the singing around church here, and the fellowship, and the Sunday school lessons, and the offerings, and the special music, and our greeters, and our hosts, and all the other Christians with a smile on their face who woke up Sunday morning and said, I'm not going to let Satan steal the joy of my Sunday morning. I'm going to church. I'm celebrating again the resurrected Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. Woo! We're going down to hear the Word of God preached. I'm going to hear some preaching. There'll be an invitation. People will get saved. The altar will be used. Hearts will be lifted. Christians will be challenged. Marriages will be fixed and healed. Children will be directed. Woo! Lives will be saved. Listen, that's what God wants. That's God's attitude, and that ought to be our attitude on a Sunday morning. On a Sunday morning, God wants to speak to your heart. On a Sunday, God wants to speak to your mind. On a Sunday, God wants to mold you, and He looks forward to it. He wants to change you for the better, and He looks forward to it. He wants to influence you for the better. Hey, listen. I'd recommend this. If you were here last Wednesday night, we talk about the Lord's Day, and that's God's special day. He set it aside. If you have a job where they make you work on Sunday, I understand that. There's not a lot you can do about that. But I'll tell you this, if they give you a choice, you ought to choose to come to church instead of go to work. I think if you're picking a job, the wisest thing to do is to pick a job where they won't work you on Sunday. Why? It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. So realize this. Realize the devil wants your Sunday morning to be miserable. Then realize that God wants Sunday to be a great day for you, and you can trace it all the way back to that first Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, where God said, boy, do I have something great. He said to Mary and the others that went down to the tomb, they began to celebrate the resurrection. I think God was saying, I don't want you to ever forget this. I want this to be a special day. And from now on, Sunday will be a special day. I would hate to think about it. I don't know what all Mary went through that day, but the Bible says she got excited. She ran back into town. She started telling everybody about the morning and everything that happened. I'm glad that she had a good enough attitude about that thing. She had her heart tender enough that when that angel said, it's a big day for you, Mary. He's risen. He's gone. Go tell everybody. It's Sunday. Hey, go tell everybody what God's done today. Hey, I'm glad she had a good enough attitude that when she heard the good news, it made an impact on her. She starts spreading the good news. Now, had Mary been you, she came to church with a chip on her shoulder. She'd fought with her husband all morning long. A nasty attitude. Didn't want to go to church. That angel would have said, Mary, I know who you seek. He's risen. Now go tell everybody. She would have said, mind your own business. I'll talk about Jesus if I want to talk about Jesus. But buddy, don't you be telling me what to do. I'm glad she had a good attitude on Sunday morning. Because she had a good attitude on Sunday morning, God was able to share with her the truth that He had. God was able to have a great day prepared for Mary. And the Bible says that these ladies prepared themselves to go down to that tomb. They prepared themselves. There was some advance preparation. So realize that God wants Sundays to be a great day for His people. Now, here's where we get to the main purpose of this morning's message. If the devil to make you miserable before you ever arrive to church, then he could hurt God's plan for your Sunday morning. If the devil can make you miserable before you ever get here for Sunday school, he's pretty well got a handle on your whole Sunday. If the devil can tamper with your attitude before the teaching of Sunday school, if he can tamper with your attitude before the preaching of God's Word,
he may defeat God's purpose for your Sunday. If the devil can injure your spirit before God's word gets to encourage your spirit, then the devil will get the victory over your Sunday. If the devil can quench your joy before God gets a chance to increase your joy on Sunday morning, then the devil has outsmarted you. I believe one of Satan's greatest battlefields are the hours just before Sunday school on Sunday morning. You say, what? Well, Brother Owens, I think the big battlefield is the altar call and during the preaching time. Probably not. Probably the biggest battlefield are the hours that you prepare to come to church on Sunday morning, because the attitude that you develop at that time pretty well carries you through the morning. Satan does a lot of prep work on you before you get to church on Sunday. Maybe the biggest determining factor on the degree of influence a church service has on you is the attitude that you develop and bring with you prior to coming to that church service. I think I could help you with that. If you don't take care of this on purpose, you'll continue to do without what God had planned for you on resurrection morning. You'll miss it. You won't get it. You come to church with a bad attitude and the wrong attitude, you're not going to get what God had for you. Your heart's already cold, and God has a hard time warming it up. And so, number four, a good Sunday morning starts with a good Saturday night. Oh, listen. You want to have a good Sunday morning? You really want God's day to be what it ought to be? Probably it ought to start on Saturday instead of Sunday. Amen. For instance, don't live for the devil on Saturday night. Amen. You'll be miserable on Sunday morning.
Right,
sir. Wait, if you don't live for the devil all week long, you'll have a better Sunday morning. The reason why some of you are miserable coming to church is you don't live what you've been taught from the Bible, so you come to church on Sunday morning and you're almost angry with me. Why? Because I'll get up and preach and remind you that you're living in sin. Hey, if you don't want to be miserable on Sunday morning, don't live for the devil Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And especially, may I say, you be careful going out and tying one on Saturday morning. Or Saturday night, you're going to have a tough time on Sunday morning facing God. So, you want to have a good Sunday morning? You want to have a good Sunday? Let it start on Saturday night. Listen to this. And some of you, we're not just talking about living evil and sinful. We're just talking about, listen, think of what makes Sundays frustrating to you. And see what could be done the day before to keep you from being frustrated on Sunday morning. I'm asking you to salvage your Sunday morning spirit by doing something about it on Saturday night. Let me give you some suggestions. Get your Sunday clothes ready on Saturday. Press them Saturday night instead of Sunday morning. I don't know of any woman that likes to do ironing. I don't know any man that likes to do ironing. If we could all agree, and so there would be no peer pressure, if we'd all just stop ironing our clothes, we wouldn't feel bad about it as long as we all did it. But I'll tell you something. There are ladies who pick the iron up on Sunday morning, you're trying to iron clothes, and you hate it. Okay, let me tell you what. Why start your Sunday that negatively? Iron on Saturday. Or better yet, make your teenage girl learn how to iron.
Amen.
She must do that to have a happy marriage. You're doing it because you love her. Do it on Saturday. And I'm serious now. Coordinate your clothes Saturday instead of Sunday morning. Some of you men, it'd be good if you coordinated them at least a little sometime. Lay the children's clothes out that they're going to wear on Sunday morning. Lay them out on Saturday. Get them ready. Ladies, do this. You know, I don't have anything to wear. Do that Saturday, not Sunday. You could do a day in advance. You could stand there and say, I just don't have anything to wear.
And man, let me tell you something. If your wife ever asks this question, does this make me look fat? Don't answer. There is not a right answer with the right attitude. You know, if you would on purpose say, I'm not going to let the devil steal my Sunday away from me, I am going to make sure I do what I can to work the frustrations out of my Sunday so my heart is gentle and pure and my heart is light toward God and I'm going to go to church with a good attitude, and you need to move some of your Sunday morning frustrations to Saturday. Have your Bible set aside where you can find it. Yeah, you know that thing. Where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? Who's got my Bible? Well, it's probably where you laid it last Sunday. You haven't read it all week long, but you just can't figure out where that is. But if you'd set that Bible out there, right where it belongs, and you do that on Saturday, you won't have to search for it on Sunday morning. Ladies, help the children to get their Bibles out. And set them out where they can have them so they can bring them to church with them on Sunday morning and there's not a hassle looking all over the place for them. We could do this. You could prepare a part of Sunday's meal on Saturday night. You could prepare it all. You could prepare some of it. Most of it. You could put it in the oven on Sunday morning and just set that timer. Get your crock pot. But I'll tell you, some of you are so frustrated with Sunday. All it takes is a little organization. You could do some of that on Saturday to make sure the devil does not ruin your Sunday. Get this. Don't stay up too late on Saturday night. You stay up watching TV all night long, and then you wake up Sunday morning and you don't feel like going to church. Well, I'm tired. You gave more time to Hollywood than you do to God. Too tired. There's a person in this church that they sleep, and I'm not talking about a senior citizen now. They sleep through the church services. Their life's falling apart. Come in here, sit down, get comfortable, sleep all the way through the service. Now, if you're a senior citizen, you need a nap every once in a while. I understand that. I'm talking about people that would be considered young adults. Well, what do you do that has you so tired you don't have time for God? You're not having a good Sunday morning if you sleep all the way through the service. Now, the thought that we would give time to stay up and watch TV all night, wake up Sunday morning, we're grumpy, we're grouchy, we don't want to get up, we start running behind, all because of the television. Well, Hollywood's not more important than God. Next, if you want to have a good Sunday morning, let it start on Saturday night. I'll recommend this. Now, I'm meddling here, okay? So if you say, I'm not going to listen to you, that's all right. You don't listen to half of what I say anyway, but I'm going to say it. I wouldn't eat after 6 o'clock on Saturday in the evening. Amen. You say, you're barking up the wrong tree there, preacher. Shut up and mind your own business. Can I tell you why? Because you decide at midnight to have a little snack of a 12-ounce steak. And you fill your belly, and all the way through the night, you don't sleep right, and you toss and you turn, and your body digests food all night. Then you walk in here, and you expect me to preach to a whole bunch of people that they don't need preaching, they need resurrecting. Man, you're in a food coma. I can tell. Have you ever preached to a congregation where their eyes are all rolled back in their head while you're preaching? Why do we laugh like we do? Because you're all saying, glad to get that out. You ate all night long. Hey, you want to have a good Sunday morning? It really starts on Saturday. It really does. Hey, Sunday school teachers, junior church preachers, primary church preachers, let me tell you something. Study your lesson all week long. Finish your lesson off on Saturday. Have studied it all week long. Don't wake up Sunday morning hoping to cram enough to make sense in front of your class. You're putting yourself under undue pressure, and you're going to say, I just don't like Sunday school. I'll tell you why you don't, because you don't prepare right. You don't prepare right. Good night in the morning. I don't understand preachers. There are preachers that they'll get up at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out, what am I going to preach Sunday morning? Well, I've got so many sermons ready to roll. I can't live like that. I don't want to live like that. As you can tell, I enjoy church. I enjoy what I do. I'm not under stress while I stand up here and preach. Some of you put yourself in a stressful situation because you won't take the time to prepare. All you have to do is prepare. You'll enjoy that Sunday school class if it's not at the last moment you're trying to figure out, what can I say? What does it mean? Where's it at? No, you prepare. Now, I think Sunday morning, Sunday school teacher, I think you ought to peruse that thing again. I think you ought to go over it and look it over again. But if you're doing all you're preparing right before you get here, you're not doing right by that Sunday school class. You can tell when a preacher's not prepared to preach. It's empty. It's shallow. It's dead. It's dry. That's what happens to Sunday school teachers too. You prepare in advance.
Amen.
You prepare. Hey, assistant teachers, you're to study that lesson every week. You're to be ready to teach every single week. And if we call on you to teach a class, you say, what? You'll panic. You'll say, that was a crummy Sunday morning for me. Why? I thought you were preparing to teach Sunday school. I'm trying to say to you, you want to have a good Sunday morning? A good Sunday morning starts with preparation on Saturday. Bus captains, have your pickup list already organized. Have the program on your bus already prepared. Don't wait until the last minute to do it. And so, listen to this very carefully. How can I have a good Sunday morning? Well, first of all, I better realize the devil wants Sunday morning to be miserable. Secondly, I better realize that God wants Sunday morning to be a great day. And the devil's going to do what he can to keep God from getting what God wants. Number three, if the devil can make you miserable before you ever arrive, he could hurt God's plan for your Sunday morning. Then I said, number four, a good Sunday morning starts with a good Saturday and Saturday night. Now, a good Sunday morning attitude will depend on a good Sunday morning pre-church attitude. You say, what do you mean? Before you ever arrive to the property. Now we're leaving Saturday night and we're going to when your alarm goes off on Sunday morning. You're not at church yet, but what can we do on Sunday morning to make Sunday school and church go right for us? Well, now we're talking about, you know, the ride to church. Preparation for church, I would recommend this. Wake up on time. Wake up on time. Do you realize that I think to God, it is more important that you're on time to church than it is that you're on time for your secular job? Now, I think you're supposed to be on time for both. But who deserves the best? Your boss or God? There's some of you, you'll fight, scratch, and kick not to be late to work, and then you'll walk into church late over and over and over and over again. What do you love the most? Your money or God? Look, you ought to know how long it takes you to get ready for church. You ought to always give yourself enough time to get ready for church. And you're not going to be all stressed out about it. Now, as this point progresses, we're going to see that Brother Owens is right down where we live on Sunday mornings. Are you happy? You know where we're going? Hey, if you need to, get up in the morning and have your morning cup of coffee. That'll help you. That's what you need. You hear about the little boy? Got his daddy a big old cup of coffee. Took it in. Dad was drinking that coffee, drank all the way to the bottom, and there were a couple little toy soldiers in the bottom of the cup. And Dad said, what in the world are these toy soldiers in here for? And the little boy said, Daddy, you know the best part of waking up are soldiers in your cup. Get up on time. And if you need that morning cup of coffee, all right, go get it. I get Dunkin' Donuts every Sunday morning. Gets me all energized. But, yeah, get up and get up on time. You're going to have a better Sunday morning that way. Some of you, I could take some of the pressure off your life if you just set your alarm and get up on Sunday morning when your alarm goes off.
Hey, I would recommend, now I'm not your mama. I wouldn't want to be your mama. Had I been your mama, I would have killed you when you were a child. I'm not your mama, but I'd recommend it. Maybe you eat a good breakfast on Sunday morning. You say, yeah, Dunkin' Donuts with sprinkles. Probably that wouldn't be the better of the choices. You wonder why your child comes to you and says, I got in trouble in junior church again. Your child is so full of sugar in junior church, we have to staple them to a wall to hold them steady. Sugar, 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 sugar. Get up, eat a good breakfast. Hey, do this. Get up in the morning and realize it's Sunday, and on purpose, say to yourself, it's Sunday morning. The devil would like to ruin the atmosphere around our house. The devil would like to ruin my attitude about church, but I will not give him the victory. I'm not going to do it. If I were you, you want something to make your Sunday morning go pleasant, and we're talking about before you ever arrive at the church, I would play good music in your home in the morning while everybody's preparing for church. Play good music. The kind of music that we would have around the church that's uplifting and doctrinally pure, the kind of music that's encouraging. A little music will make a big difference in the atmosphere in your preparation time for coming to church. Then, when you get in the car, put some good music on. Let some good music be playing. Set an atmosphere for yourself and realize it's Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. The devil's going to do everything he can to ruin my morning, but I'm going to do everything I can to let God have His will and His way for this morning. I'm going to church in a little while. God's going to have a message for me, and I don't want to mess up my attitude. I don't want to mess up my heart and my thinking before I ever get there. How many times have you walked into this place with just a rotten attitude? And you sit there and say, well, come on, move me, Owens. Malox could not move you. Music influences the atmosphere. Use that music in your home. Use it in your car. And plan to come to church with a good attitude so you can get everything that God has for you. Hey, have a departure time for coming to church, not just an arrival by the skin of the teeth time.
Amen.
Now, I fly on airplanes, and they give me a departure time and an arrival time. And you know, it makes a lot of sense to me. United Airlines has never called and said, we're going to arrive in Los Angeles, California at 4 p.m. You get here whenever you can. But I just want you to know, we'll get there at 4. You say, well, it'd be stupid for them to try to get you from point A to point B without telling you what time you're going to leave. They're not that dumb. Okay, what is the set time that you leave to get to church on time every week? I'll tell you why some of you husbands and wives fight every Sunday morning. You ready to go yet? I'm coming. Just about there. You ready to go yet? I'm still coming. You ready to go yet? Just a moment. How many moments do you need? Do you want to know how to make peace at home? You say, we are leaving for church at this time, because if we leave at this time, we'll arrive at church at this time, and everything will be okay.
Amen. Amen, sir.
Amen. Hey, you want to have a good Sunday morning? There's a way to do it. Your attitude before you ever arrive on this property virtually determines your attitude during the preaching.
Yes, sir.
Have have a departure time, not just an arrival time. I think it'd be good for you to get up on Sunday morning and have a prayer time. It may not be as long as your usual prayer time, but why not get up and pray? Get up and read your Bible for a little while. It may not be as long as what you'd normally spend in your Bible, but spend a little time in prayer and Bible before you ever get here. I think something will help you. Sing in the morning. Sing. You know what it's like when you come to church and we get to singing and Brother Nash gets to leading us and there's just some of the burdens that just become a little less and your heart gets a little more tender and you begin to say, boy, I'm glad that I'm here. Well, isn't this going to be a good day? Hey, it's great to be back in church. Won't you start that about 2 hours before you get here? Someone might say, Brother Owens, I don't know that the spirit of our church could improve. The spirit of our church could only improve as much as your spirit needs to improve. Because for every inch that you improve your spirit, the spirit of this local New Testament church improves because we are the family of God and you are a contributor to the spirit of this place. Start singing in the morning. When you wake up, everybody thinks they sound good in the shower. It's a good place for you. There are walls. There's noise from the water. And even if you don't sound good, you just start singing in the morning. You sing in the morning, hey, and on your way in, I'll tell you, some of you with kids, some of you have a really tough time in your car getting to church with a good attitude. Have everybody sing for a little while. Have everybody sing. Have them sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Have them sing that song. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can set on a bomb. Boom! Set on a bomb. Boom! That'll be fun. Instead of, you do that again, I'm going to blow your head off. Now sit back there and shut up. We're going to church and we're going to love people. And you wonder why when you get to church you're so tense. You have to almost fake a smile. Well, take a couple hours before you get here and prepare to come. Don't develop the we've got to go to church attitude. Always have the we get to go to church attitude. Got to go versus get to go. Around our house, it was never gotta go. It's gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go. 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 Gotta go. Gotta go. You got it? Don't forget that. You gotta go. 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 You say, well, that's simple. Do you really have the gotta go attitude? Huh. Hey, bring your Bible to church. That'll help you. Get your Bible and bring it to church with you. That'll help your Sunday morning. Maybe you need to get up and you need to take the newspaper and read the funnies. I don't know. Maybe that's what you need to do. Brother English brings me the funnies from his newspaper. And I look at them every Sunday morning. I hate to say it, but I like the Lockhorns. They're so realistic. I've got one here from the man in the Lockhorns comic is Leroy, and his wife is Loretta. And he has got his arm around her, and she is flaming mad. And he's saying to her, I'm perfect for you, honey. Since you're more beautiful when you're angry, I'm your best beauty aid. And that's a great way to start a day. Listen, you need to stop and realize how important Sunday morning is. You ought to prepare for it. You ought to realize the devil doesn't want you to be prepared. He wants to ruin Sunday, but God wants Sunday to be special. The best way to have a good Sunday morning is to start on Saturday night, and then when you finally arrive to your wake-up call on Sunday morning, you've just got a couple of hours now to get yourself ready to have a great moving of the Spirit of God in this place, and every one of us, we're to do our part. Some of you limit God. I'll tell you why. Not because of the decision that you made at the altar call, but because you woke up in the morning with a bad attitude and you carried it all the way to church, and God and the Holy Spirit had to fight you the whole way. And we finally arrived at the altar call and you're finally beginning to warm up. But you walk out and we never get anywhere. Hey, those of you with families, Sunday morning ought to be the greatest morning of your week. And keep it that way and work at it. It'll take some character. I'd recommend you don't get up and watch all the false preachers and listen to all the false preachers on television and radio. You'll find yourself confused.
Yes,
and you're wasting your time.
Yes.
Hey, if I were you, when you wake up on Sunday morning, I wouldn't discuss all the problems in your marriage right before you come to church. It might be good that you set them aside for Sunday morning, come to church, and let the preaching of the gospel fix you up.
Amen.
Some of you wait till Sunday morning to fight. Isn't it amazing? Think about it. Everybody in here, think about it. Isn't it amazing what can happen in our homes on a Sunday morning? It's strategic. It wasn't an accident. Satan said, hup, got that family, hup, got that marriage, hup, got that brother and sister fighting and fussing. Oh, look at that. Those people are fussing and fighting. Woo! We're going to ruin Sunday! Yay! And God was saying, oh, I want them to have a good Sunday morning. It's resurrection morning. It's a morning where I'm going to move in their hearts and do something great. And the devil said, no, you're not. I'm not going to let you. I got your attitude so bad before they ever get here. They're frustrated. They're disappointed. They're sleepy. They're tired. They're groggy. They have no interest in spiritual things. That's what the devil says. Hey, listen. Here are the 10 things that mothers hate to hear on Sunday morning. Mama, I swallowed the goldfish. Number 2. Mama, your lipstick works better than crayons. Mama, does grape juice leave a stain? Number 4, Mama, the school principal just called. Mama, and the little boy says, but Daddy says that word all the time. Mama, what does it cost to fix a window? Mama, has anybody seen my pet snake? Mama, I painted your shoes pretty for you, didn't I? Mama, the dog doesn't like dressing up in your underwear. Daddy, your pants shrank again, didn't they? Oh, what comes on us on a Sunday morning? Make the ride to church pleasant. You know, we're hilarious. It's no wonder. It is no wonder there are so many vehicle rules and laws. A lot of them are for people with children in the car. You know, you're driving up the road. Kids are, you know, doing their thing in the back seat. Think about what you say. Everybody's strapped in, 60 miles an hour. Do you want me to come back here? Okay, think for just a moment. Do you think that child really thinks while you're driving the vehicle 60 miles an hour, you're coming back there? Right. The 3-year-old saying, oh, come on, fool. Then the kids, you set them beside each other in the back seat. What's it like? World War II. He's touching me. He's touching me, Mom. Get your elbow off of me. Get your knee off of me. Stay on your side. Stay on your side. Mom. So you finally get him separated. Mama, he's breathing my air. And why do the car manufacturers put the back seat further than the length of your arm? You know, any of you are right-handed from taking a swat at the kids, your right arm's always longer than your left. I mean, you can just glaze the nose. You can't get them. Let me teach you something. If you're taking a swing and you can't get them, touch on the brake. They fall forward and you go... Yeah, it works. You got to be smarter than the kid.
then it's the wild ride to church on Sunday morning. I mean, everybody's about ready to kill each other. Everybody's yelling and screaming, and they're not getting along. Couldn't find my socks. Couldn't find my Bible. You know, does this dress look good on me? And all that. And I mean, all the way to church. You pull onto the church property, and what do? You climb out of the car. Good morning, brethren. It's so good to be here at the house of God. I have my fine family. We love God, don't we, children? Ah. Hey, you want to have a good Sunday morning? You can. You can. You want to have a good Sunday morning? Ask God to bless our services before you get here. You want to have a good Sunday morning? Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. You be filled with the Holy Spirit before you ever get here. Don't make the preacher and the choir do all the work. You should come here filled with the Holy Spirit before you ever arrive. Let me ask you a question. You come in here filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? How hard do I have to work to get a smile on your face? Be a Spirit-filled listener. Let's not let one person in the family ruin the morning. Hey, and don't wake up on Sunday morning hoping for snow, say have an excuse not to come, or ice. Hope the children are sick. Hope the car breaks down. Hope that one of you adults are sick. And don't decide every week whether you're coming to church or not. You ought to decide it's right to be in church and show up every week. Those of you that get up every Sunday morning and say, well, you want to go? You're wrong. You should have decided that a long time ago, and it's not debated in the family. You say, we're going to church. We're going to church. Hey, and if one person, and if one child in your family is sick, do all nine of you have to stay home? Say, well, the child has some digestional problems this morning, and somebody's going to have to stay home. Stool is loose. Does it take nine of you to change that baby's diaper? If so, the kid's eating way too much. Okay, if there's one sick, then somebody has to stay home, but not everybody has to stay home. A good Sunday morning church service depends on you coming to Sunday school like you should at 9:45. Hey, you want to have a good Sunday morning? Don't park in... Hey, if you're a visitor, we have visitors' parking spots out here. But if you're not a visitor and you park in the visitor's parking spot, you started your Sunday morning pretty stingy. We have senior citizen parking out here. Those of you who are not senior citizen, when you park in a senior citizen parking spot, you've started your day stingy. We have a handicap parking out here. If you're not handicapped and you park in a handicapped parking space, you're stingy. Our theme here, you're not handicapped. You park in handicapped parking, you're going to be handicapped. When you arrive, greet people and be friendly. Come expecting a blessing. Come expecting to be a blessing. Come to be an encourager, not a discourager. Smile every once in a while. If you had a bad morning, we don't want to hear about it. Okay, now that you got that out of your system, get a smile on your face and realize you're saved. You know, there are some people, whatever you do, just don't ask how it's going. They'll tell you. Well, everybody's having a rough time. So it's almost as if you want attention for having a rough day. Look, everybody was out in the world all week long. Everybody had to pay their rent. Everybody has some sickness. Everybody's fighting the devil. Come with a good spirit. Come with a good attitude. You'll find this out. The more you invest in the service, the more you'll enjoy the service. The people that went soul winning this week that will have folks saved or folks down the aisle, they're going to have a great service this morning. People worked hard on the music this week, they'll have a great service this morning. They're contributors. Somebody will get baptized because somebody worked at helping someone to get baptized. They'll enjoy that. Somebody had laundered a towel. They'll say, wow, they're using my towel up there in the bathroom. They'll enjoy that. Those that helped to prepare the building or helped to prepare for junior or primary church, or those that went to a prayer meeting or prayed all week long for this service. That, hey, when things begin to happen, the prayers are going to say, hey, I was a contributor. Those that invited visitors. Those that went out and worked a bus route and brought a bunch of young people today. Brother Phillips had, I think, 42 on his bus route today. He brought 42 people to church with him. Don't you think he'll enjoy what happens around here? Speaking with Mrs. Kistler this morning, and she works on one of our bus routes, and she said, had a great day yesterday. Visit, I think, 7 or 8 hours on her bus route. Don't you think she'll enjoy church so much the more because she contributed? She didn't just come to take. She brought something with her. She brought a spirit with her. She brought an investment with her. She brought an attitude that's a good attitude about the work of God with her. Hey, you want to have a good Sunday morning? If you're not saved, get saved. Make best Sunday morning of your life. Hey, you want to have a good Sunday morning? If you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism after your salvation, get baptized. If you're not right with God, make Sunday morning the morning that you get right with God. Rededicate your life to God. It was resurrection morning. The Bible says some gals prepared themselves for that morning. Because they prepared, it was a great day. If you've listened to what I've said, some of you could rearrange your preparation for Sunday. You'd have such a better Sunday by just planning to have a good Sunday. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you here today and you're unsaved? If you died today, you don't know for a fact you'd go to heaven. Let me tell you something. The Bible teaches we're all sinners. The Bible teaches there is a penalty for our sin, and that is death in hell, separated from God for all eternity. And the Bible teaches that that penalty was paid for by Jesus Christ through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. If you'll simply trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can go to heaven someday when you die, and you can take care of that this morning. You're a sinner, you deserve to go to hell, but Jesus made it so you don't have to. He has a free gift to offer you. If you've never received that free gift, you need to do so. Is there anybody here today that say, preacher, you know what? I'm not saved. If I die today, I'm not for sure going to heaven. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be saved. I was not even saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And put those hands down, if you will. There's a whole bunch of people here today that you just need to think through your Sundays and on purpose. Don't let this be another one of those sermons where you hear it one day and then you never think about it again. Let this affect next Sunday and then the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that. Let it fix up your Sunday so your Sunday's a good day. Who would say, Brother Owens, God spoke to my heart today, and you'll raise your hand. There are hands all over this auditorium. Fantastic. You may put your hand down. To everyone here that causes Sunday to be miserable for others, you not only made them miserable, you may have limited God accomplishing something in the lives of the people around you because you made your day miserable. Because the spirit with which you receive the preaching was probably started early in the morning, maybe even on Saturday night. We're going to have an altar call. If you need this altar, you're welcome to come. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir singing, if you will. If you're not saved, why don't you come? Standing at the end of each aisle is one of our assistant pastors. You walk up to him and say, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. If you've been saved and never made it public, why don't you come? If you're a young person and you're leaving the auditorium to go run around in the hallways, you shouldn't be doing so. We're still having church. If you're in the balcony and you need the altar, you just come right down those stairs and re-enter this auditorium and come to the altar. Why don't you get saved? Why don't you make public your salvation? Won't you follow the Lord in believer's baptism? Why don't you rededicate your life Sunday morning? It's a good time for it. This morning's sermon, its purpose is to help us to be receptive to the preaching of the Word of God. We do that by preparing our hearts, preparing our spirit. Oh, how the devil does it. Oh, what he does. He comes to ruin our Sunday. Thank you.
feet, both fuss and fight. That's exactly what the devil wants. Are you saying, not let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again? Bunch of you need to redo the way you prepared for it. So you can have the right attitude. Let God work in your life. Parents, you're going to regret someday. You kids hate Sunday morning, and part of it is just lack of organization on your part. Well, you ought to want those kids to want to come to church, want to come to Sunday school. One more time through the song choir. One more time. Thank you, choir.